Good morning. Well, now, are you awake this morning? Let's do what we start the service with, just to make sure you're with me and everything. God is good. And all the time. It's important that we remember that this morning as we talk about suffering and this idea that Scripture brings to mind about suffering to joy. Have you ever thought about that? Just keep that in mind. You know, this last week was an interesting week. Ash Wednesday was our Ash Wednesday service, and Ash Wednesday is the beginning of Lent, which is an introspective time when we honestly look at our shortcomings and the way maybe we possibly don't make the best decisions sometimes. I mean, I think all of us probably can say that as we look back over our lives. But what the difference in Lent is, many times, many of us don't feel like we're worth much. And that is not what Lent is about. You are God's child. God sent His Son to die for you on the cross. You are amazing. Whenever we become the child that God created us to be, we are just amazing human beings. But what this is talking about, what Lent is about, is a time for us to look inward and to actually try to make changes in our life that will bring us closer to being that child that God created. Does that make sense, everyone? And I don't know about you, but most of the time in issues like that, if it weren't for God, I mean, I could work hard, but I would still slip back into whatever that problem was. It takes God in my life to overcome these things. Is anyone else like that? Anyone at all? Yeah. So, but anyway, we had Ash Wednesday service, which was the beginning of Lent. Justin had an amazing message. If you were here, you heard that. We had masks that you wrote on to maybe it's what people saw in you, or what you make people believe you're like, or maybe it's something that you need to give up, or something that you need to ask for forgiveness for in your life. And as you came up to have the ashes placed on your forehead, we had a cross here, and those masks were laid at the foot of the cross, just to symbolize the sins that Jesus overcame on the cross. Then on Thursday, a man by the name of Darris Eaton, his service was on Thursday. He is has been a pillar in this community, as anyone who's been in this community for very long knows that. And over the years, I've counted him as a friend. He has any time that I would go to see him, there would be some sort of wisdom imparted that I appreciated very much. And if you know Darris very, I mean, he was in his 90s, and you would go up there, and Justin said something during the service that was so true. I mean, you would go up and you'd visit, and many times, if you wanted to visit with Darris, you would walk around the building with him to talk with him. He was that kind of a guy. He was in his 90s, but he would make, I think 4 hours a day he would walk around that building up there in Lincoln. And whenever, a few weeks ago, I'm trying to remember now, maybe a month ago, he had some bleeding on the brain, and that's what started his downhill walk as far as that is concerned, as far as his health is concerned. An extremely healthy man. And that blood on the brain just began to work on him. And he is such a healthy, strong man that everyone who knew Darris knew that he wouldn't want to live as he was. But that journey from that time until the time that he passed away was very tough on him and the family. As many of you know, you've experienced that in your families or with your friends when things like that. It may be cancer. It may be a stroke. It may be a heart attack. There are many things that can happen in our lives, a car accident, that cause that journey of suffering to begin, that things aren't the way they used to be, so to speak, in our life. And I guess one thing I want to ask you right off the bat this morning is, have you ever suffered? Have you ever suffered? Any of you? I mean, maybe one thing that's hard about thinking about this is you're suffering right now. And so many times in that moment, it is so difficult to talk about. Many times so difficult to admit. Amen. And so as we think about this, you don't have to say anything specific, but what are some different types of suffering? Just shout them out. Anyone? Illness? Losing a loved one? Oh, surrendering to God. Somebody's skipping ahead. No, you're fine. I'm just kidding you. Anyone else? I already mentioned one, the big C, right? Yes, no, maybe, cancer? Yeah. I know that's an illness, but boy, I tell you, that is prevalent in many of our members' lives. Whether it's a family friend or a family member, or you personally. How about loneliness? I've been lonely before, and I don't know about you, but I suffered whenever I was lonely. Well, as I was studying this week, our verses for today in the book of James made me wonder. James says this, "My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy." Now, I don't know about you, but whenever I'm suffering, about the last thing that comes to mind is joy. Anyone else in that same boat with me? I know whenever I have suffered in my life, I begin to question myself. Anybody else there? I begin to question decisions that I've made. I begin to wonder if maybe, you know, a few years ago when I, that metaphorical turn left, maybe I should have turned right instead. You begin to question your decisions and your beliefs. Another scripture that I ran across that is similar is from the Apostle Paul in Romans 5:35. And if you want to turn with me, I invite you to do that. Verse 3 through 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. Now listen to this. "And not only that," the apostle says, "but we also boast in our sufferings." In other words, we brag in our sufferings, "knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us." Now, I don't know about you, but from suffering to hope is a big leap. Is anyone else there with me on that? To me, it seems like suffering to hope is a big leap. And I don't know, is that a reality in our world? Is that a reality in our world? I mean, here it is again. It's suffering. Let me just read it in the Bible. Suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Is that a reality in our world? Is that a reality in our life? Now think about it. Be honest with yourself. Is that truly a reality in your life? There seems to be a lot of time between that suffering and that hope, doesn't there? And I've known a lot of people who a lot of time has passed, but still that suffering is a pretty big part of their life. Anybody understand what I'm talking about this morning? There's a theologian and 20th century martyr named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And here is his statement. Listen to this. "The graduation, the change, the graduation from suffering to hope is no self-evident earthly truth." And then he quotes Luther. Luther said that one could very well put it quite differently. Now listen to this. Namely, that suffering produces impatience, and impatience produces obstinacy, and obstinacy produces despair, and despair disappoints us completely. He continues, "Indeed, thus must it be if we lose God's peace when we prefer an earthly peace with the world to peace with God, when we love the security of our lives more than we love God. Have you thought about that? I don't know about you, but that really is a reality of this world and many people in this world. Just let me go over it real quick here. You know, the world has no relationship with God, and it causes our logic to be flawed. And listen to this. Luther, as quoted by Bonhoeffer, says we move from suffering to impatience. Is that a true statement? Suffering to impatience. Obstinacy. What is obstinacy? Stubbornness, right? Stubbornness. Inflexibility. Do you know anybody that is stubborn and inflexible? Now, I'm not talking about a personality trait here. I'm talking about someone who's gone through suffering. I mean, so many times, maybe you stay away from a person because, man, they are just the most stubborn, unlikable person I've ever met. And then when you actually, something happens and you have to get to know them, and you find out that something happened in their life, or is happening in their life. You understand what I'm talking about? Is everybody with me? And you begin to go, oh, now I understand. Right? So we have suffering, moves to impatience, moves to obstinacy, moves to despair. How many people do you know that just despair? Despair means depression, hopelessness. And that supports the world's logic that there is no God, or that if there is a God, he sure doesn't care very much. It becomes a vicious cycle, doesn't it? Suffering to impatience, impatience to obstinacy, despair. You know, because I'm the president of the Benton County Youth Coalition, I get statistics from the state about specifically youth. And they just sent me some statistics on suicide between 13 and 15 years old. And it's between, they do males and females, whites and blacks. I mean, all these different statistics. And it's really amazing to me. You know, they talk about attempted suicide and success in suicide. What an odd way to put that. You know what I'm saying? And how males have a much higher success rate of suicide than females. And things like that. You see, that's the despair, folks. That's the despair. When you're in that pit and you feel, the person who is in despair feels that you are in that pit so deep, and there is not one person that loves you enough to throw you a rope to pull you out. That's what despair is. And all of us that are around that person love that person, right? We're trying to throw ropes to that person, but that despair, that depression is so deep that they don't see it. They don't hear it. They don't understand it. Suffering to impatience, impatience to obstinacy, obstinacy to despair. If we look closer at the Apostle Paul's logic, it was based on the fact that we have been justified by faith. In Romans 5, you can see it. As a matter of fact, it starts out in chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, in our scripture, suffering eventually produces hope only for those who have found and who keep God's peace in Jesus Christ. And it's because of that that God's love, has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. You know, here's what it boils down to. Suffering presents us with a personal challenge. We can either use our suffering as a bridge in building relationships with others, or we can view it as a wall that separates us from those around us. The choice is ours. Let's read that together. Suffering presents us with a personal challenge. We can either use our suffering as a bridge in building relationships with others, Or we can view it as a wall that separates us from those around us. The choice is ours. Have you ever thought about that? You see, one thing that I've... has anyone found a place in Scripture where sin doesn't have anything to do with relationships? Anybody look? I'm putting that challenge out there. I would love to hear a time in Scripture when sin, the concept of sin, wasn't related to a relationship somehow. Breaking a relationship. Destroying a relationship. Whatever that is. Right? And think about this. If I have gone through a pain in my life, right? If I've gone through a pain in my life, a suffering time in my life, a prime example that I think about is when Jamie and I lost our little girl. If I walk by and don't minister to someone who is in that right now, what is that? God has given me a moment, a gift to be able to minister to that person, to be able to have some sort of understanding, even if I don't understand directly, to have some sort of understanding what that person's going through. If I choose to walk by after God has placed them in my path, what is that? It's not using a gift that you were given, is it? You see, that's where that obstinacy, that wall building in our lives, when we suffer and we think we're the only ones suffering, right? But you know what? As Christians, our suffering is meant to help others. And guess what? When you help others, what does that do for you? You go home that night and you're like, oh my goodness. Wow. And what, quite honestly, sometimes that's the only way it can be described, isn't it? I understand now. You see, suffering presents us with a personal challenge. We can either use our suffering as a bridge in building relationships with others, or we can view it as a wall that separates us from those around us. The choice is ours, isn't it? Truly, the choice is truly ours. James writes that suffering is actually productive. It produces endurance in us by stretching our faith. Paul adds that it makes us useful to others because the God of all comfort comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble. You know, in our household, the story of Joseph is really a big story now. Jamie and Charlene, Jamie Dirks, my wife, and Charlene Million are directing the musical Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. All right, my mother-in-law is making some of the clothes, most of the clothes. So can you imagine what my household is like? David and Paul are both in it, and so I don't catch a break. But anyway, I love the story. But anyway, in thinking about this morning, I want you to stick with me for a moment. It's about this kid by the name of Joseph. Now, as I said in first service, it may go by the same name, but you know how movies, they're based, is it loosely on a true story or something? You know, I mean, that's the way the musical is. But the story is there. And Joseph, this kid in the book of Genesis, he had 11 brothers. And not only was, I mean, I don't know that, I can't remember honestly in Scripture if it actually says that he's his father's favorite, but the brothers think he's treated as if he's his father's favorite. Anybody ever felt like that as sibling? Yeah, they're definitely mom's favorite, right? Yeah, okay. All right. Well, he kept having these dreams. Not only, again, was everybody think he was his father's favorite, but he kept having these dreams. And guess what his dreams would show him? His dreams showed him that his 11 brothers would bow down to him. Now, you can imagine how well that went over, right? And the end all be all was his father gave him this coat, this beautiful, beautiful coat. Now to us, you know, who knows what this coat really looked like? But back in the day, 4,000 years ago or something like that, right? It was a beautiful, beautiful coat, and it was obvious that he was his daddy's favorite. Just because of that coat, right? And so Joseph goes out to see how his brothers are doing with their livestock, all right? And they are so mad that they rip the coat off, they kill an animal and they put blood on the coat, and they throw Joseph in a well or a pit, and they take that coat back to Dad and says, "Dad, I'm sorry. A wild animal got Joseph and he's dead." And they reconsider that after a while. And lo and behold, some Ishmaelites come by. And they sell Joseph into slavery. And then the Ishmaelites sell Joseph eventually to Potiphar in Egypt. So Joseph here being this pampered boy that gets his favorite things, gets beautiful coats, was supposedly his dad's favorite, having these dreams that everybody's going to bow to him, and now he's actually a slave. And that wasn't even the bottom of the pit, so to speak, because what happened was, he was such a good-looking guy that Potiphar's wife took a liking to him. And he refused. And so guess what she did? She told Potiphar, right? And Potiphar threw him in jail. Now, you have to understand, the jails then, I mean, you know, I can only imagine, but they weren't the luxury places like people are in nowadays for jail. Right? I'm sure there was no library. I'm sure there was no computers. Right? No cell phone access. Right? Yeah, I mean, who knows? There's probably rats walking around his feet looking for any scrap of food that which might be his toes. I don't know. But for years, he was in this jail. For years, before he got an opportunity to share and help the Pharaoh and tell the Pharaoh what his dreams meant. And then he became number two in the land of Egypt, only behind Pharaoh. He actually saved, the biblical story tells us, he actually saved Egypt from the tremendous famine that happened. Remember, 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And he did so well that all the surrounding lands would come to Egypt to get grain. And lo and behold, guess what happened, folks? Joseph's brothers, his dad and his brothers came begging for grain. And guess what his brothers did? They bowed in front of him. Does that remind you of a dream he had whenever he was 12 or 13, whatever, however old he was? You see, the thing is, God has great plans for each of us. But sometimes when we're in the pit, it's awful hard to see, isn't it? Tell me something. If his brothers would have not betrayed him, would he have ever become the second in command of Egypt? If he was not in the pit or in the jail, would he ever have an opportunity to share with Pharaoh what Pharaoh's dream meant? So many times our suffering is meant to glorify God, and we may not understand it. We may not understand it, but we have to keep the faith. But you know what? Maybe like Joseph, right now you're in the pit. Maybe you're waiting in a dark, windowless place, suffering, and perhaps your personal pit is so deep and dark that it has caused you to question the very existence of God. Folks, if so, take heart in this basic biblical principle. Those whom God would greatly use and bless will always experience a time of suffering. It is not possible to be used significantly according to the example of Scripture. It is not possible to be used significantly by God in any area of endeavor without suffering. You don't have to consider the suffering itself a joy, but joy will be the end of what God will do with it if you trust God. Everybody with me this morning? I know this is a tough subject, isn't it? Yes, no, maybe. Do you find joy listening to a sermon about suffering? Yeah, I didn't think so. Right? Woohoo! But folks, all of us suffer, amen? All of us suffer. And what I want us to do is to understand that we can glorify God through that suffering. That we truly can find joy if we trust God. You see, when we are justified by faith, we have that spiritual peace with God because we have accepted what God did for us through Jesus on the cross. Jesus is God's last and best effort to sustain a relationship with humanity. God tells us, I'm here with you in your worst times and your best times. Amen. But no matter what you go through, no matter how low you think you are, have hope in the life that you have not yet experienced. You see, those who have faith in God face tragedy differently than those who have no hope. Is that true or not? Those who have faith in God face tragedy differently than those who have no hope. Romans 5 tells us God's love has been, folks, past tense. Look at it. Romans 5. God's love has been poured into our hearts. When we love God for God's sake, rather than for earthly gain, or even for the sake of peace, but a genuine love for God, and we desire nothing more than to have a portion of God's love in eternity, we can say we have peace with God. We boast in our sufferings. God's love has been poured into our hearts. In closing, I want us to end with this. I want you to seriously think about this concept of your suffering, whatever you've suffered in the past. Instead of walking down that road of no hope, I want you to think about this. Let's read it together and let's change. See the very last sentence that says, the choice is ours. Let's change that to the choice is mine. Can we do that? Let's read this together. Suffering presents us with a personal challenge. We can either use our suffering as a bridge in building relationships with others, or we can view it as a wall that separates us from those around us. The choice is mine. You have a choice. You have a choice to build relationships with those that are around you that are going through suffering. The same suffering that you have experienced in the past. On the flip side of that, there are people in this church who would love to take you by the hand and help you through whatever you're going through. Because they've been there before, amen? They've experienced and they understand. They may not understand you exactly personally how you're going through that, but they've been through that situation. And they can give you some deep words of wisdom. The choice is ours. Let's pray. Holy God, thank you so very much for this day. Thank you for the beautiful sunshine, God. Thank you for this amazing church and every person that's in it. We celebrate, God, all that you do for us. And although none of us wants to suffer, God, no, not one, we celebrate your life and ours. And we ask, God, that our suffering will move to hope and joy, not despair. We give you praise, God, and we ask in Jesus' name that you would anoint us in such a way that we can help those who are suffering. We understand that you put people in our path that we can help, that are going through exactly what we went through in the past. And dear God, give us the strength and the courage to step up and be your hands, to be your voice, to be your smile. Whatever that person needs, God, whatever will open that person up to your love, we ask that you empower us to step in and be your vessel, God. We love you with all our hearts. In Jesus' holy name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Because of the subject matter, I mean, every Sunday this altar is open to you. You know that. I hope you know that. But today I want to make a special effort to tell you that it is open for you to come as we sing, "I'm Trading My Sorrows." We want you to sing with us, but also we want you to pray. We want you to spend time with God. We want you to understand that suffering can become joy. Suffering can help you build relationships with people that need you very, very badly. If you are able, would you please stand as we sing our song of response?